All right. Ryan, before everybody got here, you started telling me about videos that you were looking up on YouTube. What were you looking up?
So for reasons I can't explain, I don't even know how it originally started, but I kind of fell down the rabbit hole and started watching videos of gators growling and bellowing. And
is that a euphemism for a porn thing?
No, it's just gators sounding like if a motorcycle's revving up.
What, like Todd Rundgren songs?
Is there a Todd Rundgren song called Gator Like a Motorcycle?
What? I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Or is it Motor Gator? I don't know. Rad Motor Gator. That's a great
truly,
Soundgarden
you truly
song.
Have no idea what made you start looking this up?
No.
So now your YouTube algorithm is just check out this 8-footer I caught bellowing on the fairway yesterday.
It legitimately is. Like, and I open up the YouTube app on either my phone or on my Fire Stick, and it'd be like recommended videos for you. It'd be like, you know, gator bellowing at me, and I'm just like, who the fuck are you? And what? Like, I was like, oh yeah, you watch like two videos and then they give you like a bunch of that shit.
Don't lie, Ryan. We know you. We now know you're a gator baiter.
You're a master gator.
I think you have to dig pretty deep to find that.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan knows precisely how deep you have to dig. Apparently. He's got it. Got it down to the feet and inches, baby.
I'm thinking like gator is like a term for, you know, like bears, like a big hairy gay dude. Like, I feel like gator might
it
be
might
something
be.
Too.
Gator is a gay man that's covered in scales and is an apex predator.
Welcome to George Center. I don't think anybody brought a topic from what I understand. So, Josh, what do you got this week?
I didn't bring a lot of topics today. I kind of got a little lazy on that. But I do have a few things. Godzilla v. Kong v. Roe v. Wade. Then Marjorie Tim the Toolman Taylor. And Matt, get your ass out of here.
My favorite name for that whole Matt Gaetz thing is Pizza Gaetz. Like, it's right there in the fucking name, right? Like, and it involves human trafficking. So,
well, he is rather cheesy. Yeah,
that was so bad.
That got leave the silence.
Leave the silence there,
Vic. Please don't edit that out.
Yeah, that was deserved.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know if there's anything to say about the Matt Gaetz thing. I did see. There was like the picture that's going around. It's like him and 17-year-olds or younger girls. And it was like more than any time in my life, I was just like these two things don't look great together. Like, so whatever happens with that, it's just like, I was just like, I don't know. I don't even know what else to say about it.
Does everybody know like the story completely? Like what's being alleged, what he's alleging? You know the aspect of Iran as well?
No, that's a lot more than okay.
So okay, that's why I asked. There is the this has become like seriously like a I forget where I heard it this week. Somebody used a great example of like when you're a little kid and you fucked up and the lie starts becoming so much more elaborate than like to cause so much more trouble than the actual truth would probably. Which I don't know about this, like we're talking real world consequences, but so I'll just give you a rundown real quick. So let's see, here we go. The increasingly complex scandal is an alleged bid to free Robert Levinson, the Jewish former FBI agent who went missing in Iran more than a dozen years ago. On Wednesday, Gaetz and his father produced documents that suggest a trio of figures associated with the search for Levinson solicited $25 million from Gaetz's father that would free the agent and get the congressman off the hook on charges from the relationship. The Gaetzes and Levinson are from Florida. According to the purported plan, Matt Gaetz would be depicted as the man who freed Levinson, which would earn him goodwill from the U.S. government and possibly a pardon for his alleged sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl. So the story here, if you're confused,
I'm very confused.
Fucking join the fray, like everybody is. So allegedly, these three dudes are that have knowledge of this FBI agent that went missing in Iran, like over a dozen years ago or so, and they are claiming that he's still alive. And for $25 million, they will paint Matt Gaetz as the hero that got this FBI agent back, and also that goodwill will be enough for Joe Biden to pardon Matt Gaetz of the trafficking of a minor for sexual purposes.
Am I crazy? Does that sound like that wouldn't work? That's not like a good plan.
It's a terrible fucking plan, and yet okay. This is what they're alleging. That's the whole thing about this. Yeah.
It sounds like a really poorly workshopped like action movie plot.
Except like it's not even a it's just like, hey, pay us $25 million. The other funny thing about this is that this whole plan that he's alleging is the case doesn't absolve him of the trafficking a minor for sexual purposes thing. It is just about hopefully there's enough goodwill that you get pardoned for it.
So you know what I mean? Him building up his character. Like,
yes,
so he's like,
exactly.
Yeah, of course I sex trafficked a minor, but I'm a great guy though.
Exactly. I got this FBI agent free. Like that's the whole, that's the fucking twist in this movie. It's fucking stupid as shit, man.
Let he without sin throw the first stone across state lines.
Well, I don't know, but Josh, that was hopefully we can all throw those stones. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but there's a few sins that I'm without there.
That's the Matt Gaetz story.
Yeah, well, I went to research this a little bit, and I checked out like his Wikipedia page and looked at the controversy section, and holy shit, it's really long. There are a lot of controversies before I got to the current one. It's impressive.
Now, there's one really great aspect to this that I don't know how much you should give it any grains of salt from the fucking Fox and Friends weirdos, but when it was like brought up there, they're like, oh, they're trying to go after Matt Gaetz for this, but you know, Hunter Biden did all this stuff before, and like we all know that he's bad. And I'm like, if I recall correctly, which they don't mention, they alleged all that stuff, and they said that the proof was on a laptop that got lost in FedEx or some shit like that. I'm like, and then they can just be like, well, it's true that that actually happened because we had that evidence that we've never been able to produce. And why are we? Because they're just whatabouting, like, well, Hunter Biden's bad. Like, who gives a shit? That's Hunter Biden can be a fucking murderer. Matt Gaetz is still a sex trafficker.
That's
that doesn't
the worst.
Change it.
I despise that whole whatabout bullshit. It's just like, it is never, it doesn't make you sound like anything other than an asshole when you constantly use that as your defense for anything.
And really, logistically, you're admitting to the fact that the person is guilty of the crime that they're being accused of.
But Ryan, I will say, what about Bob?
I need to rewatch that movie.
What about Bobism?
What about Dre? I think they forgot about Dre.
who amongst us can say we've forgotten about Dre?
Glenn Greenwald, I don't know if y'all are familiar with him. He's the guy that was
that Ben Stiller movie?
Yeah. Okay. The Secret Life of Glenn Greenwald.
No, it's that Harry Potter movie.
I can't remember.
That was the Greenberg?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, cut that out, Vic.
No, don't.
Yeah, leave the throwing stones thing in, but cut that one out. He didn't want to get his fucking Ben Stiller movies wrong. So Glenn Greenwald refused to like really comment on the Matt Gaetz thing under the principle that he hadn't been charged with a crime yet. And if he's charged with a crime, then he'll talk about it. But yet he ran his fucking mouth all over the place about Hunter Biden. So even the supposedly, you know, leftist journalists do this weird double standard thing where they're afraid to touch right-wing politicians, the those topics the same way that they do the left wing politicians.
Would you would you call Glenn Greenwald a like leftist journalist if we're kind of using it the way? I mean, you would, I guess, like a dim journalist, I guess, in the way, in the parlance of our times and how we kind of split.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe that's me. He's kind of had an evolution as far as the way he talks about topics and stuff. I know he plays this, he kind of does the both sides thing, but with like a progressive flair to it. But he just ends up being a complete piece of shit and an asshole on Twitter for the most part. That's kind of what his career has devolved into.
Before I guess we move on, the Hunter Biden stuff, remind me. So it's basically him smoking crack and having sex with a madam, a sex worker. Is that
and,
it?
And I believe accepting money from Chinese officials for some reason.
How is that any different from a third of the people who frequent Reggie's?
There's a lot of Chinese money at Reggie's right now.
Yeah, who among us hasn't done those things?
That Josh, that's vaguely the Hunter Biden story, is that he was just a dude that rocks. And that was pretty much it, you know?
Yeah, they're not really, but it's like also comparatively, if we're using like a whataboutism thing, it's like the one-to-one's not even there. It's like, no matter what, well, I don't know. I guess this is coming from a thing where I just don't give a shit what drugs people do. I can understand like the things of what gets there and where that could be complicated. But if you do crack, that's on you. That's on Hunter Biden. Like that's
on God.
That's yeah, but that's between God and Hunter Biden.
Exactly.
And exactly. Like if Matt Gaetz goes across state lines,
there's a victim there.
There yeah. is a victim. That's the yes, main point.
1,000% that's there's a victim.
The only point I'm making. It's
yes,
like
yeah.
But basically, yes, Hunter Biden rocks. Matt Gaetz does not, if you're yeah. following along.
Look, if there is a position this podcast is taking, it is that Matt Gaetz fucking sucks. He is hell not yeah. a cool, he is not a fucking cool dude.
No.
So we've got Ted Cruz, we've mm-hmm. got Matt Gaetz, we've got the Peloton owner. Who else?
Wait,
who
well, else Josh, is an he's asshole? Not Josh, wait, he's just fucking weird, right?
Wait a minute, Josh is a Peloton owner.
I'm dismantling it from the inside, brother.
Exactly. Operation Snow White, baby. Operation yeah. Snow White.
What's also funny, truly, before we move on from the Matt Gaetz thing, is how many dudes seem to jump out and tell you what the age of consent is in every fucking state.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it's just like,
yeah,
bro,
a whole lot of motherfuckers
You're telling on yourself.
They always do. Being vocal about that.
Yeah,
whole they lot always do.
Libertarians' favorite thing to do is to parse the nuances between pedophilia and ephebophilia and all sorts of other shit.
What's that one?
Actually, I got to get the door. The FBI is already here.
They're on you about Operation Snow White.
Do y'all know what that is? Do y'all know what Operation Snow White is?
I don't, and I'm kind of terrified, but intrigued here.
Operation Snow White was a operation by the Church of Scientology back in the 70s to infiltrate the federal government. And they had basically members of their church at all levels, primarily the IRS, which is part of how they became so difficult to tax and how they became a religion instead of like a business and shit. But yeah, they were well infiltrated in the federal government. It's kind of
where
wild.
Did the dwarves come into play on this?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know why it was called Operation Snow White, honestly. I have no idea. Yeah,
it should have been called Operation L. Ron Hubba Hubba Hubba.
L. Ron Hubba Bubba Gum, or whatever the fuck.
That's it! You've been sad this week, and we know that you've been sad this week because you don't want to talk about Kong versus Godzilla. Is that correct?
I would like to talk about it, but I feel that people who listen to this don't really care to hear us talk about movies all that much.
Have we gotten like negative feedback for it? Like,
where does this? I don't. Where's this coming from?
I don't know. Spill the beans.
Come on, Ryan.
I don't know. Maybe I just am like thinking people would rather hear us slag on politicians who look like if Beavis fucked Butthead than rather hear us talk about, you know, Big Monkey versus Radioactive Lizard. But then
I watched it last night. I thought it was pretty cool.
Did I fell asleep, but I didn't dislike it.
I liked it a lot, but I'm obviously very biased towards kaiju films.
I know it's kind of weird to ask if it's in the same universe because it's all the same characters.
No, it is not the same universe as Justice League.
Jesus Christ. Okay, all right. That was a joke. I thought Ryan was about to get super fucking serious for a second.
Is this the same King Kong from Kong Skull Island? Or is it
a different King?
Yeah. Cool.
I haven't seen that one either.
I'm not sure what that means as like aging processes or if he was a baby.
Explained in that film, they're like, oh, he's still growing. I was like, oh.
They did.
He's got gray hair in this one.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got kind of a sexy daddy thing going on now.
Like Dave Mustaine?
He doesn't look that crack-addled.
Damn, we're going to cut that out too.
Do you guys think that King Kong is related to Donkey Kong at all?
I've always thought that.
I feel like that's how they got that inspiration for Donkey Kong. Is like, because apparently King Kong was, for a time being, he was bigger than Godzilla in Japan. And like back in like the early 60s.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, useless tidbit. Back in the early 60s. Godzilla really didn't have like a following, but King Kong was still really huge over there. It makes it sound like it's a band. So
how big was he?
How big was he? Oh, let me tell you.
I love that all we had to do, we led Ryan to water, and now he's just talking about the shit that he said that nobody wants to hear us talk about. All we had to do was like say the words, and it's just wind that toy up and let it go.
Well, fun little story here is that whenever I go hit up a comic and game store in Annapolis, Maryland, I like to talk about pro wrestling with one of the guys who manages there. And whenever I go with my friend Britt, if the moment she hears the W word come out, I can just feel this vibe of, ah, shit, I'm going to go to the other vibe end of the store.
I had already forgotten what the W word was because wrestle starts with an R in my head. So like, I was about to ask you what's the W word? I was very confused for a second.
So wait, what you're saying? So because King Kong was so popular in Japan when Donkey Kong came out, it was extremely popular.
No, he preceded Donkey Kong by like 20 years, I think.
Do you understand?
When was the first Donkey Kong?
So what is it? Is that his cousin then? Because they have the same surname, so they got.
Why the
be
fuck
like
is
somehow.
He Donkey Kong? Like he's not.
Why the fuck was it an Italian plumber that blew up in Japan? Like, why? Like these video games are surrealist experiences in the first place.
And nobody really.
Somebody blew up
an
Italian guy in Japan.
Yeah.
There's somebody blue in Italian guy.
That's why you hear him go.
So Mario was originally Jumpman in the Donkey Kong game, right?
I thought that was Michael Jordan.
God damn it. Did you ask when the first King Kong movie was?
No, the first King Kong movie, I believe, was 1933.
Okay, yeah. I thought that's what you said. I tuned out, honestly. I have no idea what you were talking about.
Okay, so if we're really talking about King Kong, then do you understand what their... like how their government is set up, like king, and then so what does that mean?
Yeah, it's
donkey?
A why is it a monarchy?
Yeah,
like I feel like we've pretty like evolved past the need for the dual head of state,
right.
Head of
smash. It seems Kong like the CIA could have done something to weaken that at this point.
You know, it could just be a figurehead like the crown in England. It could just be like for ceremony and things like that. But they actually have like a parliament.
Like Funkadelic?
Yeah, exactly like Funkadelic.
Well, okay. I mean, if
I like that Josh just does word association, has nothing like nowhere to go. Nowhere, no avenues, no way to make any jokes out of anything. Just like Funkadelic.
All right. If we're to believe in how things properly work out in the world of fiction, the title of King Kong was actually taken away by Denzel Washington in the movie Training Day when he said, "King Kong ain't got shit on me."
It's true.
So we're going to see Training Day versus Kong.
You know what? They originally did plan on having Batman versus Godzilla in the late 70s.
What?
Not kidding either.
Wow.
Like when they were throwing out ideas, like at the Toho, the guys who own Godzilla, they were like, what can we come up with? And that, because the Adam West show was so huge, they were trying to work out a Batman versus Godzilla movie.
Would it be way too nerdy of us to discuss who would win, Batman or Godzilla?
I have a feeling Batman would somehow win because, you know.
But Adam West Batman versus Godzilla, though?
Oh, especially.
I mean, well, I can see Christian Bale.
Adam West Batman would have gotten fucking owned.
Adam West Batman punched a shark. He could probably find a way to, like, punch out Godzilla.
Godzilla's just really a big shark, really. Weakens Godzilla, though, to be honest, is that, like, billionaires don't really pay taxes, but Godzilla probably is hit with, like, a heavy burden being on, like, lower income scale. So I think that already weakens Godzilla versus Batman, you know.
Yeah. Wait, so, okay, so you're saying because of Bruce Wayne's tax burden, he is going to struggle in the fight against Godzilla?
No, the other way. I think that Bruce Wayne doesn't, he has enough exemptions because billionaires don't really pay their fair share.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Bruce Wayne has the advantage because of his minimal tax liability.
Wait, is Will just realizing that Batman is Bruce Wayne?
Wait, what?
Wow.
What does Godzilla do for a living, then?
I mean,
underwater welder.
I'm swing that dick around.
Who pays him?
He's
for
got
that?
BDE.
Yeah, Godzilla absolutely has big dick energy. 100%. I mean, so does Kong.
Dude, when Kong stood up the first time in the movie, I expected there to be like a swinging dick.
You thought they were going to be like, you thought he was going to have truck nuts? And oh, man.
I thought
Adam
Wingard would do that, you know?
And he's gonna be driving a giant pickup truck with "Don't Tread on Me" on the back.
Yeah,
I see some good merchandising potential there, like King Kong brand truck nuts, you know?
Yeah. Chuck Norris truck nuts.
Truck noise.
I did legit.
Chuck Nuts. Oh my god. Okay, that's the name of this episode. Chuck Nuts. Jesus.
It'd be real hard to make a safe for work picture for this one.
That's okay. That's what you get paid to do.
Well, could we do Truck Norris instead?
Yeah, Truck Norris.
No, I don't know. I think Chuck Nuts is pretty fucking hilarious.
All you gotta do is just Photoshop Chuck Norris with the little squirrel from Ice Age.
I was just going to say, I remember the first time I heard those Chuck Norris jokes, and Josh, I was living with you and Adam was staying with us, and we were at that restaurant Tomatoes. Remember that restaurant Tomatoes?
Yeah, I saw Ryan Corbin
play
there.
I don't think I ever went there.
You did. We were sitting in a booth together, and I had just read all these Chuck Norris jokes, and the three of us were like cry laughing. We thought they were so fucking funny.
I think you could edit this out because that's really saying a lot about us.
Well, it says a lot about 2004.
That's sad.
It is sad. It's absolutely sad.
Mm.
Our friend Carlos that passed away not too long ago, his favorite was Chuck Norris is the only person that can actually make Chuck Norris jokes funny.
That's a good one.
Ends it right there. Absolutely.
Vic was talking about that place, Tomatoes. And for anyone who might not be familiar with it, it was a restaurant in Wilmington some about 20 years ago.
It's now an Applebee's.
Now an Applebee's. It gives you kind of an idea what sort of place it was. Well, they had shows there. We actually went to a grindcore show.
Yeah.
Inside this restaurant,
the
which
Aaron
is
Haynes, I think,
really weird place to host a grindcore show.
Was it any more really awkward than that hardcore show at the Denny's that everyone's probably hopefully seen?
Oh god, yeah, I've seen that. It was similar energy, except for No moshing, just people standing there.
Big Denny's Energy.
That's a better episode title.
Oh,
Big
shit.
Okay, that's good. Big that's Denny's fantastic. Energy.
Big Denny's Holy Energy.
Shit. BDE, Big Denny's Energy. So that's so that needs to be shorthand for anytime something is awkward and out of place and not quite right. Like, what the fuck is happening here? This is not really cool. Like, it has the potential if it was in a different setting, but this is fucking strange. That's BDE, Big Denny Energy.
All right, who else
hey,
got?
Hey, wait, we forgot to mention it was tomatoes with a Z. Okay,
it was.
That's true.
I always thought it was pronounced tomato Z.
Topic this week.
I wanted to talk about the Bruce Willis album, The Return of Bruno.
Yes.
I've been doing that Gravity Records vinyl, spring vinyl challenge. You just post a picture of a vinyl from your collection every day in April. And my first one was Return of Bruno, the Bruce Willis album from the late 80s. And gave it a listen that day and saw that some of you guys checked it out too. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that it fucking rips.
It's good.
It's great. It's awesome. Badass.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
It's really good. It's
if you like Huey Lewis in the News, like, it's good.
Yeah. It's got like some Steve Winwood vibes going on.
Yeah.
I thought you said Huey Lewis in the News.
I did too. I did. Oh man, that's a QAnon Huey Lewis cover band. That's who plays their conventions is Huey Lewis and the News.
Huey Lewis and the fake news.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. Huey Lewis and the lamestream media. Dan, tell us about this album. Like, it's just got that kind of 80s pop rock vibe to it? Or?
No, it's more, it's not super jazzy. It's got some like big band kind of action going on. It's hard to put a finger on what
it's
that
kind
style
of blues,
is.
But like the Chicago kind of blues, like the Blues Brothers kind of blues, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
With like horns and stuff. And it's like, it's not like the kind of blues where it's like an old man playing guitar. It's like,
I don't think it's like Robert Johnson style. I don't think he's talking about being the son of a sharecropper or anything.
We will get to that. I agree. That album isn't.
So does Bruce have a good voice? Because I don't think I've ever heard him sing.
He does. Okay.
I haven't either.
Yeah. He's not the greatest singer. Like, if we're like talking on technical ability, but I like what he's got going on. Like,
always second on the scale to me. Like, technical ability doesn't mean shit. If you have an interesting voice, that's what I appreciate.
He definitely has a lot of character.
Well, he is a character.
The best part is that you can't separate Bruce Willis's face the whole time. So like, it's a really cool album when he's singing the whole time. It is fucking Bruce Willis's voice the whole time.
The related artist on Spotify for Bruce Willis is Robert Palmer, Steven Seagal, Don Johnson.
Wait, Steven Seagal sings?
Oh yeah. And Glenn Frey. Blues Brothers is one of the related artists. So.
I don't see Steven Seagal as a good... I think it's just because he's a famous guy.
Well,
I don't think.
Have you listened to Bruce Willis's second album?
So, am I crazy? Is the first one's called The Return of Bruno?
Yeah, I'm not that sure where Bruno came from in the first place.
So, is the second one The Return of The Return of Bruno?
The Two Towers and then The Return of Bruno.
Never forget.
No, have you heard the second Bruce Willis album?
Yeah, a few times.
I didn't know he did more than one.
Few times. Listen to that flex. A few times.
So there is
not just yes, not just I've heard that album before. A few times.
So the first album came out in 1987. So I assume he was still on that show. Moonlight. Was that
Moonlighting?
Yep. And so 89 was the second album, and it's called If It Don't Kill You, It Just Makes You Stronger. Which sounds like someone did, like, didn't do copywriting on If It Doesn't Kill You. It, I don't know. It's just like clunky title.
You read it one more time.
If It Don't Kill You, It Just Makes You Stronger.
Yeah, that's they are totally trying to rip that off, but say it in a cooler way, it sounds like.
Yeah, or it's like a copyrighted phrase and we didn't realize
that
it,
so they had to that has huge Big Denny's energy. Huge.
What's the actor with the band 30 Odd Foot of Grunts?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yeah.
What
yeah,
the fuck is it called?
30 Odd Foot of Grunts is his band name.
Do you have any idea what the hell that means at all?
No.
Okay.
No idea.
Just wondering.
Keanu Reeves has Dogstar.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, I listen to some Dogstar and I gotta say, it's really bad.
I knew about the Russell Crowe band from listening to Dave Anthony's old pod, Walking the Room. They were kind of fascinated by it, and they had some Australian fans that sent them, I think, Russell Crowe's albums and shit to talk about. Mm. And that, I believe there is a podcast, or there used to be, called 30 Odd Foot of Pod. that basically covered that band. They acted like they were super fans of the group. very strange.
So about Return of Bruno, I mean, I've listened to it a bunch of times, but I will say the cover of Under the Boardwalk is just insane.
Is it?
Like, it is... Like that, I pretty much, like, up to that point, before that, there's a song called Youngblood, which is also just ridiculous. I'm not exactly sure, like, what the song is about, but it almost seems, like, I feel weird explaining what I think the song is about, but it seems like it's, like, Bruce Willis dating, like, I don't know if I want to explain this, but I think it's like someone calling him Youngblood, like, as a respectful thing, and he's like happy that he's being called Youngblood.
I mean, he was relatively young back then, wasn't he?
He had blood in him then. but so then the track after the Under the Boardwalk is Secret Agent Man, James Bond is Back. That shit is wild.
Like, is it the cover of Secret Agent Man?
I was like, what?
Sort of. It's like kind of. It's like a cover.
It's a reimagining.
Of it, also, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So it's Secret Agent Man, and then does it Bond go into back. The James? Does it go into the James Bond theme song?
It does have the ding 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 ding, like the okay. James Bond guitar going on.
And yeah, gotcha. But kind of like Steve Vai'd up. A little bit.
Who has anybody, or excuse me, did anybody of note play on these records?
Bruce Willis.
Records? Oh, hold on. Did anybody of note play on these vinyls as far as instrumentations go? I cannot Bruce speak Willis. Worth a. Besides Bruce Willis, any musicians that we would know?
Bruno? I really don't know if anyone of note.
It must not be. I think we would all be aware if that was the case.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, like, early in people's careers that later end up being famous, you'll go back and see that somebody like Steve Vai or somebody played on a weird record.
I feel like if somebody like Steve Vai played on Return of Bruno, I think we would.
Did any of you guys ever see that documentary Hired Gun, which is all about, like, people who are hired to play in touring bands?
Wow.
And I was thinking, I'm like, man, that would have been fascinating if they'd worked to try to find whoever played on Bruce Willis's records.
Well, I have answers. There's a lot more going on here than one would have thought. So from the top, Return of Bruno was released by Motown Records, which is insane.
Wow.
And so the backing musicians include Booker T. Jones.
Okay.
Fucking the Pointer Sisters and the Temptations.
Holy fucking shit. Right,
well,
I told you.
I couldn't have been
Thank
more
you very
incorrect.
Much.
Okay. All right. And it is a companion piece to a HBO special of the same name. and it is a 1987 comedic film originally aired as a one-hour special on HBO and later released on VHS.
Well,
it is
a mockumentary
starring Bruce Willis as his fictitious alter ego, Bruno Radalini. It's some kind of spaghetti that I don't know. A legendary blues singer, musician.
Chef Boyardee Radalini with
that's what it felt like.
Extra meatballs.
So a number of famous musicians, I guess Elton John, Phil Collins, Brian Wilson, Grace Slick, Joan Baez, Stephen Stills, Ringo Starr, the Bee Gees, Graham Nash appear in the film as themselves, paying tribute to Radalini.
So Bruce was Chris Gaines before Chris Gaines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to throw that out there.
Does this tie into Hudson Hawk at all?
You know, I've never seen that movie.
I tried, and it was hard.
I heard it was a good movie. I think that
really does explain the beginning of the album starts like really weird, where you feel like it's like, or maybe I'm getting the albums mixed up, but I believe it's like kind of like it's like you're coming into the world of Bruno, I guess, and you're kind of like at a nightclub with Bruno. Is okay. How the album really starts. So it really does like set it up. So you kind of do need the context or the background of it, which is really hard, like 30 years away from this HBO special that none of us have ever seen, but hopefully we will see.
I can get up with somebody who try to find a download of it and put it on their Plex.
I have access to someone's HBO login, and I will see if it's on there.
So it's a concept album, essentially. Like you said, it's a companion piece, but it also, like you said, you need to watch the movie, but there's lots of other albums that go along with movies. For instance, like Pinball Wizard, right? Nobody stops and asks what the fuck that song is about, even though there's a movie that goes along with it that explains everything.
Well, I would say explains everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's being way too generous. Have y'all ever seen the movie Pinball Wizard?
No.
No.
Oh, it's
I thought it had to do with
so
Tommy.
So strange. Do what?
Is it not Tommy?
Oh, Tommy. That's what I meant. Yeah, I'm saying Pinball Wizard.
I feel like Tommy, I knew what you were talking about the whole time you were saying that.
Have you ever watched Tommy?
No. Yes, I have. Many times.
I grew up watching it. My dad was always playing it for some reason. I don't know why. But I feel like, I don't know. I never questioned it when I was young. I was just like, this is a weird movie. But going back and watching it now with any kind of analytical lens to it, I feel like would not hold up at all.
I'm blanking on his name, but what's the drummer for The Who?
The Who?
Yeah.
Keith Moon?
Who? Yeah. Oh, that's a classic. After watching Tommy, I can never look at Keith Moon the same way again, because he's in, like, you know, the Frank Zappa movie 200 Motels and, like, a bunch of other shit, and every time I see him, it just, like, skeezes me out because of his character in Tommy.
What does he do? Refresh. I don't remember.
He molests Tommy as a child.
Oh, Jesus, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Well, it's like that Freddy Krueger movie, the, what?
Return, I think it's called Nightmare on Elm Street.
What's the one? Never mind.
God, I'm trying to think of all the names. There's Freddy's Revenge.
Nobody wants to hear us talk about movies.
I think that one. That's the one.
So I just did a very quick look on my computer, and looks like there was an animated show that Bruce Willis played a kid named Bruno.
Yep.
I'm going to have to dig around and see if I can actually find the other thing.
Doesn't he have like a giant head in the cartoon?
Yeah, it looks pretty big. Yeah,
it's weird.
He's got like one tuft of hair and a giant hematoma.
The second album, though, is definitely more on like that kind of bluesy, more on the Robert Johnson end. That's really giving it a lot more credit.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah. Just like 12-bar blues.
It's very 12-bar blues. Like he plays harmonica a lot on it. And
is one of those 12 bars a ska bar?
Yeah. But
hey, I mean, Dan with a callback.
Yeah, but bars, I think Roy Cooper is allowing bars to open at like 30% capacity.
But just only 12.
Just 12. Yeah. So if you're playing blues, you're only allowed 4 bars. before you have to go back and repeat.
Yeah. Vic, did you have any topics this week?
No.
I did have another subject. I figured it wouldn't be quite as interesting.
Way to set it up.
Don't be too confident about this, okay?
No, trust me. You're going to be like, all right, Dan, what have you got? And it was that I was going to see how many people I could tick off by announcing I did a candy ranking system.
Jesus fucking Christ. Fuck!
I told
you. Tearmaker? Did you use Tearmaker again?
Yeah.
The name of the episode was No More Tears for a reason, asshole.
Yeah, like, well, you know what?
Nobody gives a shit about this.
Yeah, well, you know, Ozzy made another record after No More Tears. So,
what was in the top? Just tell me what was in the top.
I had the Reese's stuff up there.
Okay. What's the Reese's stuff?
What is the Reese's?
That's that like New Kids on the Block song?
I had Reese's.
The Reese stuff.
I had Reese's Pieces. I had Reese's Cups. I had Starburst.
Are you purposely not pronouncing it the way you used to? Reese's Pieces?
I don't know what I was doing there.
Okay, now what's on the bottom? What's the word?
I had those
Circus
little,
Peanuts?
Like, I had those.
Shut the fuck up, man.
I love Circus Peanuts.
I had those.
You're like all fucking crazy.
Like, you know those little like candy like sheets that have like little ones stuck to there that you can
LSD?
Do? There?
The little dot.
Yeah, the little like dots that you have on like sheets of paper.
You have not. When's the last time you've actually had those to even qualify as a ranking?
It was on there. I didn't make the template. That was.
So you're just choosing. You're just choosing from a preloaded list of candy.
Is this like an Up Rocks like poll?
What's up, Rocks?
Take this poll to find out what type of Harry Potter candy you are.
Like that was the thing that happened before as well when I ranked the fast food joints. Somebody already made a template, so I was like, "Oh, let me just play around with this."
What else was on the bottom? You got the candy buttons and the what else?
I remember the candy buttons. I put those little like candy necklaces that you could find on there. I was like, "Those are gimmicky, but they're not very good." I'm trying to remember. It was a lot. I mean, a lot of like what I call like the gimmick candies were like towards the bottom because I was like, these are cool. Like I had candy cigarettes at the bottom because I was just like, you should just.
What about
go.
The little wax sodas that you like bite the tip off?
I think I put those in like the D or C listing.
Yeah, they're pretty
cool.
So
I was like, they're cute, but I was like, they're not very good.
Was Pez on there?
Pez was on there. I put Pez at the bottom because I was like, yo, the Pez dispensers are awesome. But I think Pez candy sucks. Personally.
I love Pez candy. I think it's one of my favorite candies.
I don't know, man. I think it's too chalky.
Do you like Smarties?
Smarties was on there, but I can't remember where I put it. I think I put it in like maybe in the C's. Maybe C's or B's.
Do y'all know what cotton candy is called in France?
Le coton?
Candy Royale.
It's called Daddy's Beard.
Get the fuck out of here.
No.
Swear to God. It's called Barba Papa, and that which translates to Daddy's Beard. It's the creepiest fucking name for food ever.
I wish it was legitimately just called Daddy's Beard in France. It's like everything is in French, obviously, and then it's just Daddy's Beard. Like it's the only thing they don't translate.
You know, you just mean that they use the English, like the actual English language for it?
Yeah. Well, that would feel more exotic to them.
Do they call French fries just fries over there?
Yeah, frites.
Frites? Okay, frites. I genuinely didn't know that.
They're called French fries here because they're like French cut. They're julienne, so they call them French fries because they're cut French style.
Okay, I that sounds like a terrible fucking 90s stand-up premise, but I genuinely did not know.
But what is interesting, though, is that you drive on a parkway.
Shut the fuck up.
And then you park on a driveway.
Hey, why do we call things delivered by car shipments and things delivered by ship cargo?
Damn.
Bacon is cooked and cookies are baked.
I think these are all legitimately Gallagher. Like, I think he actually did all.
And then he like probably hammers some bacon.
All right.
Dad, I did actually just pull it up in case anyone gives a shit about what I put on where.
Oh no! I promise you.
No, I brought it back around to the.
You can text.
Ryan's just waiting
group.
For a silence so that he can get back in there with his fucking ranking system.
Does Daddy's beard have the tier?
Daddy's beard apparently did. It might. I'm gonna look it up.
That fucking sentence. Look at this.
Does it say that?
Does Daddy's beard have a tear?
Oh, this is the hardest I've heard Josh laugh in a while.
Does Daddy's beard have a tear?
Real quick, prayers up for DMX. Right now, I just wanted to get that there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, by the time we record next week, there will be a better prognosis, but it is not looking good. Did any of y'all ever listen to DMX growing up?
A little bit. I mean, I think, have I told y'all the story about, you know, when we met him? This was back when they were filming a movie in Wilmington called The Bleeding. And it was like Vinnie Jones, Michael Madsen, Kat Von D, and DMX. The movie didn't come out for like 3 years.
Am I crazy? Was Dan Reed extra in that?
Yeah, I was an extra in that.
Yeah, well, like down at Firebellies, which is a place that doesn't exist anymore, everyone, when they were taking a break during shooting, was going off to the Rocks, whatever that place was, that went by like a billion different names. And everyone up there to party, except for DMX and his crew, went down to Firebellies. And they were just singing in the back and shooting pool.
Did DMX bring his whole crew?
He brought most of them. I don't know if it was the whole Rough Riders, but...
he has a song called Bring Your Whole Crew. That's...
oh, okay, my bad.
Never mind. I'm clearly a true head. I'm clearly way more invested in DMX than anybody else here.
Well, this one, it was me and somebody who I don't talk to anymore for good reason. We're hanging down there, and we saw a guy who used to work security at Lucky's, who was his, I guess, sort of like hired security that night. And we're like, oh, his name was Tiny. And we were like, oh, shit, like Tiny's like working for DMX. That's cool. And the dude I know was like, oh, man, like I should go over and talk to him. He's like, should I go talk to him? I was like, yeah, go talk to DMX. He's like, what? And I was like, worst that happens is he like punches you out or tells you like get
that's
lost.
That's all that can happen.
And so when they were going to go back to shooting, he yells at Tiny like, hey, Tiny, what's up? Tiny like shoots him a glimpse for like a second and then goes right back to like when he's going to do. And the ex-friend screams like, what the fuck? He just fucking dissed me. And X stops right before they're going to bed. He goes, what? He dissed you, dog? He's like, yeah. He's like, you want me to fuck him up for you? He was like, no, like, don't do that. Like, maybe you should come back in and like, give me a, like, let me like buy you a drink. He's like, all right, I got to go shoot this movie. I'll be back. And,
hey, yo.
Yeah. And I was like, DMX threatened to beat the shit out of his own hired security that night.
That sounds like something that DMX would absolutely do. I wanted to touch on the fact that I remember listening to his first two albums when I was like 13 years old. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with some of the lesser known DMX songs out there, but they were fucking terrifying. They put the fear of God in my little 13-year-old white boy ass when I listened to those records. I got blood on my hands, and there's no remorse, and I got blood on my dick because I fucked a corpse. I'm a nasty. When you pass me, look me in my eye. Tell me to my fucking face that you're ready to die.
Yeah, see, a lot of this stuff was kind of like pseudo horrorcore, you know, wasn't it?
It was so fucking, like, this was in the era of like Puff Daddy, you know, No Way Out, like, you know, popping champagne bottles and shit and like Hype Williams videos. And then DMX was like, you said, like, it was like some horrorcore stuff, you know, it was the most visceral imagery I'd ever heard. I got blood on my dick because I fucked a corpse. I've never heard anybody, you know, rap that way before or since.
That's more brutal than most death metal.
Yeah. Did he predate like ICP?
I think so.
Was it kind of same time? Or probably. Like, he definitely predates like 3-6 Mafia, though, right?
No, I think 3-6 was around since like the early 90s. I'm going to double check that right now.
Yeah, they formed in 91, 3-6 Mafia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, DMX's first album, I don't know what he guested on before his debut album, but let's see.
First album was 97, right?
I think 98. His debut album was 98. It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Okay.
But he began rapping. He was probably did title. Features and shit on 90s. Do what, Vic?
That's a badass album title.
It is. It is. And the second one was Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. And yeah, and it's like, it's him on the album cover and he's just covered in blood and shit. It's terrifying. Again,
I remember that cover. I was like, that shit like was like, yo, this is fucking intense when I saw that cover.
It is, absolutely. It was the intense is a great understated word for it. Anyway, prayers to DMX.
I'll also just say DMX was in the last good Steven Seagal movie, which was Exit Wounds.
Yeah, he was in Cradle to the Grave.
And of course, Belly. He was fantastic in Belly.
Fuck yeah. But yeah, have you all seen Cradle to the Grave? It's him and Jet Li.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, the movie rips. So I know him more for his acting prowess than music. But honestly, much respect to DMX and please pull through.
Yeah, seriously. Josh, we've been going at it for an hour now. If you want to get out. The patron saint of George Center.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
You just
pulled a Chief Wiggum there. You started say something, and then you're like, "Ebba, Ebba." You did a Porky Pig, I think.
wait,
you did a Ebba, 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 Ebba.
Oh yeah, isn't today like a Simpsons holiday?
Easter?
No, yeah.
Oh no, it's Whacking Day.
Racking Day, yeah.
No, Whacking Day.
Whacking Day.
Yes. Where they kill all the snakes in town for no particular reason.
All right. Well, do with that as you will, Vic.
Easter is so much funnier of an answer than Racking Day.
It's also
Whacking
the day.
Day.
It's also the day.
Whacking Day?
Whacking Day, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I haven't celebrated that as much since I was a teenager.
Still pretty often.
It's also the day you should be watching Critters 2, because that's one of the only horror movies I can think of that has an Easter scene in it.
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about... Is that the one with Leonardo DiCaprio?
That's 4. Critters
3. No, wait.
It's Critters 4.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Critters 3 has Happy Gilmore's grandma in it.
I'm getting it mixed up.
Oh, no, that is Critters 3. Critters 4 is fucking space.
Yeah.
Damn.
We forgot to completely acknowledge the fact that this is Easter, that we're all spending Easter morning recording this podcast instead of being with our families.
Why do you have to be with your family on Easter? Like, if you take, is it?
Okay, clearly so. You don't, because we're not.
Well, we already did the Easter thing. He got a basket and he did the egg hunt and played. When you have kids, they get up fucking stupid early in the morning, so we have plenty of time to get all that out of the way before
that's true.
We start doing this.
Well, we are about to go hunt eggs, so let's read this fucking book.
Okay. All right. All right. So we are reading Steven Tyler's autobiography, Does the Noise in My Head Bother You? If you're reading along on the hardcover... God damn it. Let me start that again. Copy.
No, all keep right. all this in. Keep all this in.
I'm just going to start reading. Sunapee, New Hampshire was where I spent my summers as a kid. Driving up to Sunapee, we'd go past Bellow Falls, and Mom would say, Bellows Falls, Fellows Balls. There was so much to my mother, like the way she'd get me to eat my peas. Whatever you do, do not eat those. And I gave her a frog smile. A few years later, say around 1961, when I'd call for my mother from the other side of the house, my mom would go, "Yo, where are you? Where'd you go?" Now I wonder where she's gone. She was a beautiful Philadelphia Darby Creek country girl who came to the city to bring us up. Let me have long hair in school, argued with the principals, drove us to our first club dates, and loved and nurtured me, the whoever I was and or wanted to be. In the 50s, it would take us 7 hours to go from New York up to New Hampshire because in those days it was all on back roads. There were no highways. But the ride up to Sunapee was filled with fantastic roadside attractions. A giant stone Tyrannosaurus Rex on the side of the road, wooden bears, Abdul's Big Boy, and the donut dip with a huge concrete donut outside. Trorico, our summer resort in New Hampshire, was named after Tro Hill, a local landmark, and Tallarico, my father's name, just smushed together. The cottages were on 360 acres of nothing but woods and fields. It was my grandfather Giovanni Tallarico's dream when he came over from Italy in 1921 with four other boarders. Pascal was the youngest, a child prodigy on the piano. Giovanni and Francesco played mandolins. Michael played guitar. There was a touring band in the 1920s. It's where I get my on-the-road DNA. I've seen brochures for the Tallarico brothers. They performed in giant hotels with huge ballrooms in places like Connecticut and Detroit. They went from New York by train to these hotels all over the country and played their type of music to their type of people. Sound familiar? And we'll stop there.
What's a frog smile?
Nice. I don't know. That all and felt like...
Fellows balls.
Well, have a good day, y'all.
Jingleheimer Smith. Happy Easter, everybody.
Yay.
Hopefully DMX is resurrected today.
Yes, please.
Prayers up. Love y'all. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you have listened to our dozens and dozens of listeners out there, if you like it, leave us a rating, review, all that good shit.
Tell your friends.
Helps us out. Thanks, y'all.
Ding.
No, cut. God damn it. Cut this out. I'm serious. I'm dead ass serious. Please cut this out.